Nick said shit.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I am deluded.
And Nick Glover.
Also delusional.
Yes, and we are joined here live at OmegaCon with our amazing, wonderful friends, Brianne Bilyeu.
Hello.
And Timmy Iverson's also in the room.
Timmer.
Hey. All right, so we're going to record with Timmy later, but he may chime in now and then because God knows this is a whole fucking
this
thing.
This cripple can't shut
but
up for
we've, 2 minutes. But we've got Brianne here because you might have heard us on Atheist Talk just this last Sunday talking about the atheist delusion, but we couldn't really swear on the radio.
And we needed to fucking swear.
We need to fucking talk about Ray Comfort's The Atheist Delusion that Brianne made us watch.
Can I just say, before we start?
Yes.
So this will help me feel a little better?
Okay.
Fuck this movie. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if you haven't seen it, I don't want you to watch it really, but if you feel like you... Hold on. If you feel like you need to, for a frame of reference, you can watch it on YouTube. It's free.
It's free, but there's a cost.
Yeah, there is a cost. And the cost is an hour of your time and a few days of your sanity. Because it's fucking terrible. So, Brianne, why don't you tell us why it is that you wanted to talk about the atheist delusion in the first place?
I really didn't want to. But I was curious because Ray billed this as a the one question that would change all atheists into believers, just like that.
Oh yeah, the one question that would shatter the atheist delusion.
Uh-huh.
And what was the question?
It was, you know, if I sum it up, I would say it was the conflation of this idea that you have a book, and books don't just come from nowhere.
Well,
books
they're written by someone,
they're
Brianne.
They're created, yeah.
They are created.
Yes, yes, and DNA is a book of life.
I've heard it referred to that.
Therefore,
someone had to create it.
That's right.
I'm no longer an atheist.
Someone's clever metaphor is scientific fact.
Yeah, by the way, need to make very clear that he claims it's one question. It's actually about 15 for him to get through the whole
It's two
idea.
Questions and a series of bullying.
It's a whole random path of nonsense.
So, all right, so, Brianne is not, you might be like, oh, she's clearly being reductive. No, she's not. That is the whole thing.
Pretty much,
He's like, he hands them a book, a physical book, and he says, look at this book. Do you think the ink... No, just imagine I'm doing an Australian accent, because that's the funniest part of this video, I think.
Imagine.
Yeah. Do you think the ink, it fell out of the sky, and it made pictures on the pages, and it fell out of the sky, and the ink and the pictures and the pages?
All the beautiful colors.
All the beautiful colors, and it just made itself? Did the book just make itself?
This just happened naturally.
And everyone's and he's like, right, this book had an author. And they're like, okay.
You're going to have to do it all again, though, because he's actually from New Zealand.
Is he really?
Yeah,
he's New Zealand.
I sound a little more New Zealand because my quote-unquote Kiwi accent is more of an imitation of Brit and Jermaine. So, like, that's my only frame of reference. But I apologize, all Kiwis and all Aussies. I did not mean to conflate you together. If it makes you feel better, I don't sound like an Iowan, even though you think I probably do.
But to be fair, you all do look alike. So.
You come on, you're. Yes. I mean,
yeah.
But he rounds up a bunch of so-called atheists. I don't want to sound, but he asks them if they're atheists, and they say they are.
It's what he rounds up is a bunch of like deer in the headlights college freshmen.
Yeah. Would you think a kid in that? Would you think anyone in this video was over 22?
The woman.
And the old guy.
And this is one old dude he found in
I bet that woman was a professor.
Yeah.
She struck me as an administrative professional in the school or something. Like some kind of... But so he's asking them, and he's asking about the book, and they're all like, okay, yeah, the book, obviously, someone made the book. And he's like, so have you heard DNA referred to as the book of life? And people are like, I guess. Like, I don't even think anyone said yes. Everyone's
I've heard that metaphor.
Yeah, okay.
There are not a lot of strong affirmative statements.
No. And so the most important thing I think you need to know about this video, in case you don't want to watch it, which you shouldn't want to.
You shouldn't want to.
Is that the Ray Comfort is never recorded. Recorded and seen speaking out of his own mouth. All of his recordings are a narrated overtake, like a voiceover.
Okay. Ambush cam.
So you can't actually tell if that's what he said to the people or if he re-recorded. I'm not saying he re-recorded. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know if they're answering the question he asked or if they're answering a different question.
And there's a lot of like montage footage of people nodding and going okay, and we don't know what they were saying to them at that point.
Yeah, I think the first time that we saw Ray comfort himself was like 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
When he wanted to pray with that one kid.
And he looks like Chuck Norris.
You see him when he's interviewing.
He does look like Chuck Norris.
You see him when he's interviewing, is it Lawrence Krauss?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah. He interviews Lawrence Krauss. You had a thing on the radio. You wanted to. You were very upset about this, and you wanted to express some things.
She has pages and pages of notes. We need to let Brienne talk.
Yes, well, I had to bring my notes today because I wasn't watching the fucker again. So,
yeah, fair enough.
Right.
So
go home, Tim. You're drunk.
See what happens when you hate God.
So he brings up this question in the middle of the movie where he's talking about can something come from nothing?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Lawrence Krauss had a very nice response where he explained how snowflakes, even though they appear patterned and thought out, and there is an intentional design to them, they actually do kind of just form spontaneously
from nothing, these chemical reactions. It were. Yeah.
And this is just par for the course for the entire movie. Ray decides that he's going to answer this really solid defense of something spontaneously coming about by just calling it chemical reactions happening over and over again. That's all that is.
That's all it is.
Yep, but the info on DNA, the information that comes from DNA is specified information.
Oh.
Which he treats like you can hear the capital S and capital I. It is specified information.
Yeah.
And as a scientist, I'm standing there going, that means nothing.
Yeah.
That is not a thing.
No.
But
well, snowflakes have specified information.
I was talking to Brienne, and after we recorded, I'm like, okay, Brienne, just full disclosure, Brienne, you actually are a biologist. Is that not correct?
I am a biologist who was tricked into becoming a chemist, so my forte is worn out.
So which came first, the chemistry or the biology?
Oh, But
I have to go to church now. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Fine.
Can we say you went to school for biology?
Is
that fair? So for you, you know biology pretty well.
Yes, yes.
She's a biologist who didn't go to school for biology. Yeah. So she fell into it.
Amateur biologist.
It's like, as a biologist, she fell from the sky fully formed. But so I asked him, like, so now I just wanted to make sure that my understanding of DNA, this book of life, this perfectly coded system, I'm like, there's all sorts of stuff in every DNA strand that isn't of any use at all. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
So with his book analogy, if you really want to say, all right, if DNA fell from the sky the same way a book fell from the sky, if that book fell from the sky, it would have like whole chapters that didn't make any fucking sense.
Oh, like an Ayn Rand book.
Yeah.
There'd just be like,
there'd
just be pages of monkey on typewriter.
Yeah.
There'd be full sentences that make sense, but then the next full sentence might have a bunch of random words inserted into that sentence.
Oh, like House of Leaves.
Yeah. So his analogy is really bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad because if you sit there and you break it down into how a book works and how DNA works, there is no one-to-one map there except with the metaphor of DNA being the book of life.
Right, right.
Which is not like a literal thing. That's just a fun like little mnemonic for understanding DNA.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't go take like a higher level biology class and you're looking at DNA or something. They're like, now, as we examine this parts of the book of life over here, like that's not a thing. That's just a neat little phrase.
Yeah.
Although now, technically, with the Human Genome Project, we can have a book of life.
And did someone write that book, Brienne?
Someone did write that. Checkmate.
That's all I'm saying. So that was the first question, which we obviously, that's ridiculous. The second question that he then posed was, Brienne, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
The chicken.
Well, then where did the chicken come from?
An egg.
Who laid the egg?
A chicken.
Oh, you see the problem.
Where was the rooster, Brienne?
Yeah, where was the rooster?
So, Tim, where did you come from?
Yeah.
My parents.
And where did they come from?
Their parents.
And where did they come from?
Monkeys.
No.
Adam and Eve. Section out.
I will point out. So yeah, he asked this kid, this so-called atheist kid, who's like, you know, he's, where did your parents come from? Their parents and them, their parents, and so on back to Adam. Ray Comfort says, and this kid goes, all right, and appears to nod. Now again, this is one of those times where I'm like, I really wonder if that's what he said, because if I was an atheist, even like, and I would self-describe that way, and every atheist I know, if they were ambushed by some dude who then said it all the way back to Adam, they'd be like, well, hold on. Like, not to Adam. Like, what are you talking about? Like, no, I'm not from ribs. Like, that's not how this works. I have no rib DNA.
Some sort of genetic Adam.
So this chicken and the egg thing, I was particularly vexed by this, I know, because, you know, when I was a very young child, I'm going to say like 9 or 10, I learned that the answer to which came first, the chicken or the egg, is the egg, because dinosaurs laid eggs, you idiot. And so I was very confused by this, like, how nobody in this video, at least that they showed, they didn't show anybody in this video having any answer other than complete confusion, like they'd never heard this question before. Yes. There's a whole song on Sesame Street about this question. And yet, no one's heard it.
Yeah, one of the fun things about the selective editing that you know had to have taken place here is that all of the ways that he shows different celebrities talking about the topics that he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And PZ Myers, Dr. Myers, actually wrote in and when we were doing this on the air for Atheist Talk, and he said that he had been approached by Ray Comfort's people, and he had given answers to all of these questions.
Of course.
We didn't see PZ's stuff.
It's weird. Yeah. We didn't see PZ at all.
It's like he didn't give answers to his questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he chose not to.
That was inconvenient for the plot.
It's like those books of the Bible, they pretend don't exist because they don't fit their narrative.
Right. Oh, that was another thing. So, if you look at God, according to Ray Comfort, if you look at God and look at all the bad things that God did, according to the Bible that he swears is 100% true, and you talk about those bad things, you are an idolater.
You are.
You are.
I know. I was like, what the fuck is...
You're worshiping the wrong version of their God.
You're creating a God that is not real. He's not just those bad things. So you are making a new God.
Yes.
Which makes you an idolater.
I liked... I thought it was very bold of Ray Comfort to bring up produce of any kind. He's kind of famous for this really awful banana argument about
which is
that you can tell God made everything and that there's intelligent design in the world because look at the banana and look how perfectly it fits in the human hand.
Yeah.
And look how it's a perfect little meal and it's all pre-packaged and individually whatevered and all that.
Why else would it be shaped like that if it's like, fit our hands?
It's like if bananas of all fruit... If you were to find a wild banana, they look nothing like what you would recognize a banana as in the store. And the bananas you would recognize in the store look nothing like the original domesticated bananas, which are extinct for, you know, like 60 years now or almost 100 years
now. But even better, when he does that video, he keeps showing you how easy it is to eat the banana and giving it a blowjob over and over again.
He is really, really orally fixated on the banana.
I will say.
And so now he uses the same argument in this again. He's like, look how there's berries
and corn, the sunset, and the plants, and all this, the animals.
Clearly, this was all made for. This is all intelligent that we can eat all this stuff. And it's like, what about all the poisonous shit, dude?
What
about the stuff that if we eat it, it kills us?
What about the fact that it's like this is all perfect? It's like, really? Oranges aren't perfect. You got to fucking peel them to eat them.
There's a 20-minute section, like or maybe not 20 minutes. There's a large section of time that Nick and I were just calling Great Comfort knows nouns because he was like, if you look at this world and you see all the eagles and the plants and the trees and the corn
and the walruses,
the sunset
and the ocean and the dogs
and babies
and the cars
and laughter, and it was just like, yep, those are all things. You're not mentioning bone cancer or like AIDS or war or famine or the fact that like people live in poverty but apparently God can fix it and doesn't,
or mosquitoes. Seriously, biggest argument against God is fucking mosquitoes. That's all I'm saying.
How about a touchy subject in Minnesota.
He had that the his argument that, that hell must exist was that well, okay, so you know about the Holocaust.
You know about the Holocaust, yeah.
And you know
how
you know how Hitler killed millions of
people. He killed people. 15 million six million Jews. Of them Jews.
He killed millions of people. How could someone do something that bad and not be punished for it?
Yep.
Therefore, there must be a hell.
You have to believe in hell, because otherwise, where did Hitler go?
Right.
And the irony of that is he had just gotten done saying that if you were, like, as Brianne said, an idolater, he makes people list their sins. Do you steal? Do you think about sex?
Have you
fornicator?
lusted in your heart?
Have you lied? So you're telling me you're a liar, a thief, a fornicator, and an adulterer, and everything else, and all that. And so then he says, if you don't accept Jesus, you go to hell. So not only did Hitler go to hell, but all the Jews he killed went to hell too. Mm-hmm. And he never mentions that. No. That's never.
And nobody that he talks to brings it up.
And then
again, you have to know that this is he's clearly selective, because there had to be some people he talked to who said, well, didn't the Jews all go to hell too?
Right. Or so you're saying I'm as bad as Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying that watching pornography makes me Hitler.
Yeah. Right.
Thinking about watching pornography.
In the eyes of God.
Yeah. It's past
I am no yeah. wor- I'm no better than Hitler.
You go into a store and you look around and you're like, man, nobody's here. How much does this thing cost? No price tag. Guess it's free today as a joke. You just committed a sin that you're going to hell for because you've stolen your mind.
And you deserve a punishment equal to that
equal
given to Hitler.
So the thing about this movie is all of these questions have already been asked. They've been asked by better people in much more eloquent ways.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. One of the things, like what we're talking about now with hell, the question of evil, like how can there be evil in the world if there is a God who does all the things that God is supposed to be able to do? He actually tries to address that. He says, how can God be good and create a hell? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my answer to that is, how can God be good and not create a hell? Like, that is not...
No, that's...
You are not addressing the question.
How can I afford this car when I'm unemployed? The question is, how can you not afford this car?
I also just really quick, the whole bit, I just realized I forgot to say the banana thing. I find particularly ironic that Ray Comfort does not believe that we evolved from apes, but yet believes the banana was made for human hands and not ape hands. I just think that's stupid. Of all the things to pick, a banana is not the one. If you think we didn't come from monkeys, then you're going to go with a banana argument.
Well, and the thing that bugs me about a lot of his argument with evolution is he's like, well, eyes, the irreducible complexity. Eyes, look at eyes, how perfect they are.
Perfectly
and,
formed.
And he's like, do you believe they were perfectly formed that way? And the answer is no, of course I don't. Eyes evolved over millions of years. And how do we know that? Because the former state of our eyes exists in other animals.
Yeah.
We can trace it back. We can take a human eye and trace it back through so many steps and go, well, it was like this, and then it was, and before that it was like this, and before that it was like this. We know where it came from. And
yeah, but Tim, if evolution is real, then which did your body evolve first, blood or a heart?
Yeah,
Why would it evolve a heart if it didn't have blood?
And why would it evolve blood if you didn't have a heart? Why don't people have, you see people walking around with half-evolved noses?
Yeah, why don't you see people with half-evolved legs?
I don't know.
You ever seen someone walk around? No, Timmy, no. Okay, so you guys should know. We're going to do another episode with Timmy, but Timmy is Timmy the Cripple. Now, I feel this is important. This is how he self-identifies, and this is something I thought of you, Timmy, because he was like, you don't see someone walking around with a half-evolved leg, do you? And I'm like, I mean, kind of. Like, you know there are people who have legs that didn't go all the way, like, to where they should be, right? Like,
to be fair, we do know the difference between development and evolution.
Well, yes. But it was just like, my thought just being like, the fact that he was so stupid to say half-evolved leg, but then he didn't, does he never see anyone who has a limp? Like, what does he think that is? Like, what is it?
No, thanks, Lance Crafter.
He's so stupid.
My eyes are so perfect.
Yeah, my perfect God's eyes. Every single person in this room needs glasses. Yeah. Thanks, God.
Does he assume that every single person he sees with a fake arm had it shot off in the war?
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah. God made thalidomide, dickholes. According to Ray Comfort.
So the biggest sin of this movie, in my opinion.
Aside from the fact that it fucking exists,
yes.
right?
The biggest sin is he paints this as this intellectual argument.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to lay out these questions and they are going to sway atheists. He's going to appeal to their sense of logic and intellect.
Yep.
That lasts for about 25 minutes.
Just yeah. Put them on yeah. their battlefield yeah. to their rules.
And then he exactly. switches it.
And then, yeah, so those three questions are done. He asks those questions.
Which are the book thing, the watchmaker, the book thing, yep. the chicken and the egg.
Irreducible complexity. Yep. Yeah. And, yeah. So nothing. So there's nothing new there. And then he literally says, I'm going to move away from your intellect to your conscience.
Yeah.
And that's the last 35 minutes of the movie. And it's and all about guilt and hell bullying. And sin and bullying.
That's when he does the whole, like, okay, so let's find out. If you died today, would you go to hell? Which is a very current, like, yeah. Evangelical argument. Like, if you died today, where would you go? And then be afraid.
Better reflect on that.
Yep.
He runs into one kid who he's grilling about this stuff. And it's very bullying. It's very... shove a camera in these kids' face and grill them with questions. It seems aggressive to me, at least.
Yeah.
There's one kid he's interviewing, and he's like, he says, oh, well, if you died today, would you go to hell? The kid's like, well, I'm Catholic. And he goes, you weren't born again. Sorry, hell for you.
Gotta be born again.
And then he immediately switches tactics on this Catholic kid and starts preying on the Catholic guilt, like cultural aspect, and starts telling this Catholic kid that about how he needs to be born again and how he's going to burn in hell and how it doesn't matter that he thinks he's good or that he thinks he's Christian.
He quotes the Bible, yeah. You know. Like,
and,
yeah.
And so even this kid who could be like, yep, I believe in the same God as you.
Same evolution shit, sure, why not?
He could believe as much as the nonsense that Ray Comfort believes, but because one specific aspect of his nonsense is different.
And let's be clear about the nonsense Ray Comfort believes, because he's really super clear about it. He's a young earth creationist, but here's the thing. He tells people, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You don't need to do good works. You don't need to go to church. You literally don't need to do anything else. In fact, what can be inferred from what he said, when he says all you need to do is accept Jesus Christ into your heart, is, and then you can go just rape and murder and steal, as long as you continue to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you don't need to do anything
else.
Said
that word for word in the video.
But the thing is, that's the same. Is. But that's the same as the fucking movie Dead Man Walking. Yes. I hate that movie because it's the same thing. Like he raped and tortured these two kids to death out in the middle of nowhere. They died alone and afraid and in pain and whatever. And Susan Sarandon, this nun, is like, if you just say that you accept Jesus before you're put to death by the state, you'll go to heaven. And I was like, that was one of those movies when I was younger. I was like, well, fuck this. Yeah. Like, I'm done with that. That's fucking bullshit. Yeah. I don't want to be a club if that guy's a member.
Right. Yeah. it's like, who am I going to be in heaven with? I mean, I'm not saying that hell's going to be populated with a bunch of great folks, but they feel...
At least the music will be good.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Okay, so I wanted to ask something about this, because I'm actually not that familiar with what different religions and different sects of Christianity... I guess I want to focus on Christianity.
Yeah,
sure.
Different sects of Christianity believe about what heaven is like, because he mentioned very briefly in there that heaven isn't going up to... into the clouds and playing harps and sitting around.
Right.
You know, that would be boring. He said, heaven is life on earth except without all the bad stuff.
Which includes, by the way, sex. Because sex is right out.
I've known a couple of evangelicals who genuinely believed that what heaven is it's like it's like living your everyday life, but basically you're imagine if you were in a planned
except
community.
Everyone's white.
Yep. Okay. Basically, okay. You're in a planned. Well, not necessarily. Did they accept Jesus? You're in a planned community of other evangelicals. Kind of imagine that, where every day is Jesus wonderful, and there's no gay people, and there's no like feminists, and there's none of this like contention, and everyone just gets it because we all get that Jesus is good. And so it's that way of like, it doesn't feel like anything different other than getting to live the rest of your life forever amazingly happy with everything perfect. And it ignores the idea that maybe like you and your kid don't get along all the time, or like maybe you and your wife fight or whatever. None of that's going to happen in heaven because everyone's happy. And so...
So it's the village from Stepford Wives.
Yeah. And so, like, this evangelical kid I knew in college was, like, he was kind of a nihilist, which was weird, because he was like, this world doesn't matter. I'm really just waiting to die and just believing in Jesus and trying to spread my gospel. And the more people I can get to believe, that's great. But, like, really, he was just waiting to die. But he couldn't kill himself because that was against God's will. So, like, how shitty is that life that you just, like, everything will be better once I'm dead. And everything here is just something that I have to get through to get to this, like, perfect Stepford world where I won't have to have contention anymore.
Sounds tedious.
But and Catholics is the whole, I think the whole, like, wings and harps and I don't know, like, so you ascend with the Archangel Michael and all the fucking angels are up there and the trumpets and St. Peter and the wing of the stuff. And
I never know how it's different for different sects because I know some that are like, oh, there's a difference between ascending spiritually and ascending bodily depending on...
Well, that's the rapture.
Right.
Yeah.
Depending on how things go down, your afterlife might be different, even within a certain...
But there's also differences in terms of what they believe hell is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to Christians who believe that the difference is essentially heaven is eternal life and hell is just death and nothing. Mm-hmm. And then there is the Dante's Inferno concept of hell, where it's not
just death
and nothing. It is an eternity of... horrific
torment. Yeah, I've also heard the hell being the you are reliving one day over and over with no escape, and you can't make any new choices. So you're just forced to repeat your mistakes over and over for eternity.
And it's a super shitty day.
Yeah, I've always thought, one of the things I've always thought was the funniest about heaven is this idea that, okay, so let's say your particular religion allows for divorce, because most of them do these days. So like you're born again Christianity allows for divorce. So let's say my first husband, who isn't Nick, we got divorced, right?
Killed.
And he divorced me, and I still love him. Like, I'm still all about it. So according to my faith, when we go to heaven, like, is he there because I love him and he didn't get it?
Let's say a person's spouse dies.
Yeah.
And is waiting for them in heaven. And they... legally within their church's rules, remarry.
Yep,
and now they have a second.
And they loved the dead spouse too.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Those two die and go to heaven. Who's their heaven spouse?
Yeah. Who's your heaven spouse? And do you have to share? Whose love counts
and
more?
Winner is spouse.
What if you really want to have children and grandchildren? Because in heaven they would be grown.
Yeah.
Unless they died young, and then do they grow up?
Yeah.
Or are you stuck with a 2-year-old?
Is the born-again uncle who molested you in heaven? Because I don't want to go. Like, I mean, there's a lot of weird shit about that they don't want to talk about. Every time I try to talk to this evangelical friend I had in college, I'd be like, with all these questions, he'd be like, none of that matters because that all goes away. Because there's none of that. Everyone's just happy. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. I won't be happy when I see my Uncle Andy because he sucks. So, like, if we're both in heaven, heaven sucks for me now.
None of that matters is a way of saying essentially that you're going to be brainwashed and you're not going to be who you are anymore in heaven.
Right.
Which, it's like, why is that? Then God is a deceiver, isn't he?
I think we all know that.
Anyway. As wrong as that sounds, too, it's kind of like, the parts about you I may not like are kind of the parts about you that make me appreciate the parts I do like.
Yes.
So it's like, if those aren't there, I'm kind of like, this is awkward, and you're only just super nice Molly all the time.
Right.
And I'm just like, that's so not you.
Yeah.
That's not the person I love. You're a totally other person.
But it's a separate thing.
Right.
Where you're just like, who are you now that you're just robotically accepting this?
Right.
Boo heaven.
All right. Brianne, do you have any last words? Do you have any final thoughts?
I was going to ask you guys what you thought about those converts, because he had some converts.
Oh, he did. He did convert a couple people. There was toward the end of the video, he was asking things like, "Do you want to go? Like, if you go to heaven and everything?" And they're like, "I mean, well, first he was like, are you still an atheist?" After these pointed questions, and a couple of them were like, "I don't think I can say I am." He's like, will you pray with me right now?
Yeah.
Will you pray with me right now? And he's like, okay. And one guy did.
He's like,
and he
yes.
fucking got down and prayed with him and was like, make this boy like go into the light, let him see Jesus's blah, 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 and the book of life and DNA
Jesus
and bananas. Jesus is blah, blah, blah.
That's something Ray would be down with.
Oh, he's
sure.
got a nice blah,
I'm
blah,
pretty
blah.
Sure. I'm pretty sure there's some Jesus's blah, blah, blah in
yeah.
one of the Gospels. Probably Mark.
He's hung, Jesus is hung yeah. like this. yeah, the and so, yes,
radio.
Yeah. How did you feel about, yeah, it was good radio, yeah. The converts, like, what, I mean, they didn't feel real to me, but I felt a lot like it was people trying to be like, man, I just want to go back to class. You know,
that's
like,
what I got a feeling for a while.
I got this joint, I was going to light up, and then Ray
yeah.
Comfort came over and made me talk about being an atheist.
At least he came over before the joint.
I don't know.
The that's
part
a waste
of me
of
is like, would I, you know, being a non-confrontational Minnesotan,
mm-hmm.
would I be like, oh yeah, fuck, whatever, just so I can get this fucking done?
Have you ever had JWs come to your door?
No. Well, no, I have.
They write me handwritten letters.
When the JWs come to my door, I basically am like, no, I'm sorry, we're atheists.
I had to tell the Mormons I was dead so they'd leave me alone.
Ooh.
They knew I was an atheist, but they still kept coming. They came back every few days to my apartment back in the,
did
like,
they
2001.
Did you stood there and told them that you were dead?
No, I mean, I tried. I actually was like, no, she died. And they're like, she died? I was like, yeah, she died. I got the apartment, I guess. Yeah, she doesn't live here anymore. And they were like, okay, and they came back the next day anyway.
The only thing I get is I still get the tons and tons of solicitation from Scientology.
Yeah.
I get,
by the way, if you don't follow us on Facebook, Nick has been posting all of his Scientology.
Yes. They will not stop.
I have a voicemail to post.
My favorite one, favorite email so far was the most recent one, which was, hey, Nick, I understand you've been getting a lot of emails that you don't want from people from Scientology. I guess my question is, what do we have to do to get you in a Scientology car today? It's basically like, what's it going to take, Nick? What's
like,
it going to take?
I understand you said you're really tired of our solicitation and you've identified this behavior as harassment several times, but can we change your mind?
No. All right, so that has been if you want to watch it, I'm not gonna say don't watch it.
It's
the Atheist Delusion. It's fucking
YouTube.
Funny.
Maybe
just
make a drinking game out of it, but be careful that you don't overdose.
Yeah,
oh,
if you're
boy.
Gonna make a drinking game out of it, I'd be drinking like a beer. Like,
do,
just,
not,
yeah.
do not drink every time Ray Comfort throws out a noun.
No, no.
Drink every time his accent makes you laugh.
Yeah, I will say there is a pretty great point where he's making a long argument and it takes about 5 minutes and you're like, uh-huh, okay, yep, agreed. Yep, agreed, sure. No, that's where we're wrong. Like, that's the thing. But, all right, Brianne.
Yes.
You've answered our original questions.
And you did.
You've answered our new questions.
Oh, my God, I have.
What does that mean? Do you have 5 questions for us?
Them just in the last 30 seconds.
Well, I'm glad for that. All right, Brianne, hit us. 5
right.
questions.
So, after watching this movie, what would you say it would take for you to believe in God?
Substantial, obvious, verifiable proof.
Which would look like?
A tangible miracle that is some way clearly tied to Christian deity. And not just, it could have been any deity or alien.
Or supernatural.
Or
like medicine.
Right. Yeah, right.
I would say that I would add to that it must be witnessed by the entire world population at once.
I would settle for an entire stadium full of, you know what? A reproducible miracle. I think it would mean,
yeah.
I think it would
mean
yeah, reproducible.
Nice.
Because
science.
A crazy one-off could be a trick.
Yeah,
right.
It could be done with an illusion. It could be done with. I mean, stage magicians are fucking amazing, and technology is awesome, and you can do a lot with projectors and sleight of hand.
How about a sustained miracle? Like, someone's not just, because, like, evangelical televangelists would do that all the time, right? Like, someone is cured and they really feel like they're cured, but then when they sit down, like, they can't, you know, Timmy.
Yeah.
You know, a day later,
everything's
back to normal.
A statue that's gushing blood and they have no idea where it's coming from, and, like, you can move the statue and it's still bleeding and it never stops and the blood isn't coming from somewhere. That might be
I feel like it'd be hard for me, mostly because I have been crazy. I have had hallucinations, like legitimate ones, and so it would be hard for me to accept something as not just being, I mean, even if everyone else saw it, it'd be like, okay. But then also, I am more likely to believe in the spontaneous development of superpowers within the human community than I am God. Like, the idea of a mutation like the X-Men is something that I feel like I, or Carrie, is something that I could get behind more than the idea of an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. So, like, even if people started displaying these miracles and they were reproducible, I'd be like, cool, so people have superpowers. I mean, it would, I don't know what, it, I think it might take some kind of booming voice we all hear at the same time that's like,
and
hey, what's up?
And we all comprehend exactly the same
and
way.
And it's all in your language or whatever. And it's like, I'm God. I am the Lord your God. The Bible is real. You all heard this. I'll be talking to you a few more times, like fireside chat style. Like, then I'd probably be like, all right. Like, I'm starting to, but I mean.
Oh, hello there, humanity. I didn't see you come in.
Overwhelming, I mean, what is it? An overwhelming something requires overwhelming evidence. Yeah, like
claims.
Overwhelming claims require overwhelming evidence.
Extraordinary.
Idea of an omnipotent, omniscient, you know, omnipresent being requires way more proof than someone who can, you know, do telekinesis or light things on fire or turn water into wine, even walk on water. Even if a dude looked like Jesus and was like, I'm Jesus, they'd be like, cool, the first mutant.
In other words, it would take a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole lot, right? Okay, so second question. We were talking about what different evangelicals' heavens would look like. What is your heaven?
Okay, I got this. All right, now I go first. So goats.
Goats, yeah.
Lots of goats. I love goats. It's no secret to anyone here, but goats. Not a lot of people, to be honest. I mean, probably just the people that I know. And I wouldn't want to be like, I wouldn't want to choose them. I would want it to be chosen for me based on how much I cared about a person, some outside, like, and then
like
if
God
I didn't,
or somebody.
Yeah, I mean, if it's heaven, right? Like, it's going to be an outside supernatural force that determines, but like, I mean, really for me, the thing is like, I guess it depends. Do all the social constructs melt away? Do I have to still deal with the idea that someone, I'm not talking to them enough to make them happy? Like the friendship kind of qualifications. Uh-huh. Otherwise, just Nick and goats. And then like every pet I've ever had. Every pet I've ever had, and they don't require feeding or cleaning up after. They're just happy, and they're just there. So all my ferrets and my hedgehog and my cats and all my dog and everything, they're all there. And I used to get to hang out with them. That's my heaven.
I think my heaven would be the resources to travel this world and do what I want to do and have a very comfortable life of leisure. Also, there are no hangovers. And people aren't dicks.
So you're traveling in the afterlife?
No, it would be this. It'd be this world, but with
you're skirt. The question is like an afterlife heaven.
It'd be the same.
Okay, are you a ghost?
But I some sort of physical incarnation. You know,
you're dead, but you're still like able to. I'm curious.
Okay. It would be this exact world, but I'm unburdened by money or or. Financial resources and that
like
sort of
that.
Thing.
Oh, like that movie where, like, when they died, they came back as people, but they look completely different.
I don't know.
Dead Like Me?
Dead Like Me, yeah.
Dead Like Me, yeah. The show,
you know, fantastically wealthy, unable to be hurt or killed, and then no hangovers.
You don't have
good.
To work as a waitress or a...
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. Just, awesome. Just being able to enjoy everything there is to enjoy in this world with... some of the barriers removed.
Yeah.
But not all of them, because then it would be too boring.
I'm pretty much the same way. It's like I enjoy this life for the most part. So I guess what I'd want is my youth and vitality back. So, you know, I'm like mid-20s.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of energy. I can eat whatever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want. It doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference. And just being able to having the resources, whether that be there's no money so you can do whatever the fuck you want, or just being able to do whatever you want whenever you want is heaven. And it's like, if that's being around your friends, great. If that is not being around your friends, great.
Sure.
And if that's being able to have a pet cat that I love that's not going to fucking die, that's great. That's what I would like.
Also, I wouldn't have arthritis in my knees. I would like to point that out.
I would not have blind spots.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have any glasses.
Exactly.
Yeah, no glasses. I definitely am on board for that.
Question
3 is Tim's fault. Who is your favorite Sesame Street character and why?
Ooh.
Kermit the Frog.
And
Kermit
why?
The
and
because
why?
He's Kermit the Frog.
Was he Sesame Street or was he?
He's everything.
He was
on Sesame. He was well featured on Sesame Street.
As a news reporter, among other things.
I feel he counts just fine.
You know who else counts?
Who else counts?
The Count.
The Count.
The Count isn't my favorite. Oscar the Grouch is my favorite.
Oh, Oscar the Grouch.
Because he's the only cynical Sesame Street puppet.
Muppets
are puppets. They're just special puppets.
It's squares and rectangles. he's the only one that's like a cynical. Like when I was a kid, I was like, "Oh, he's the like Vietnam vet puppet who saw some shit."
Yeah.
And like never acclimated back into society, right? But like he still wants to be a part of things, just not too close. Like something about that really appealed to me for some reason. I don't know. Oscar the Grouch.
I'm gonna go with Bert. Bert is a rule follower. Bert is like the stodgy, but he's not stodgy. He just likes things to be in a routine, and he's got this like wacky partner who makes him laugh, and he likes that, but at the same time kind of infuriates him, and he likes that too. And like, I don't know, I always got Bert. I got Bert a lot.
He likes pigeons
and he's cool in his own way. Yeah, he likes bottle caps and pigeons, and like he can do his little dance, like he gets down, like I don't know. I very much like Bert. Bert and I were of a kind when I was a child.
You are like 60% Bert and 40% Ernie.
It's true. It's true. I am the love child of Bert and Ernie. I am the daughter they adopted and raised to be a little bit like one of them and mostly like the other.
Question number 4.
Mm.
We are at OmegaCon. So did you guys discover any new games this year, or did you play? What was your favorite game?
We did. My favorite new game, we actually covered this in another episode. I don't know if it was before this or after.
Before this.
But I will say again, my favorite new game was Dream Home. It's super fun. It is building a house. As my drunk friend Maya pointed out, it's not really your dream home at all, because you had to put cards wherever the cards came up, and your house makes no sense. And it's true. I had 2 living rooms, 2 kitchens, no bathroom, and no bedroom because of the way the cars came up.
So if your dream house is Howl's Moving Castle,
Okay. It's super fun. It's my Rebel Games. Asmodee publishes it, so you can find it at asmodee.us or on the Amazons.
My dream home was also devoid of bathroom.
Yeah, no one has a bathroom.
I had 2 bathrooms.
Yeah, look at this. Look at King Midas over here. 2 bathrooms. I had to shit in my upstairs kitchen. It had a garbage disposal. We were fine. We were fine. It's like a punk house.
I think the game that it was like, we played it, we talked about it, and like I went online and bought a copy right away, was Joking Hazard, the Cyanide and Happiness 3-panel like punchline comic game, kind of like Cards Against Humanity.
Right before I came up here, I decided I was going to play that with my mom and my husband.
Nice!
Yeah.
That was fun.
I didn't know your mom was here. That's awesome.
Yeah. It can be like just as dirty as Cards Against Humanity, but doesn't have the baggage that Cards Against Humanity has. So I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will just... Castles of King Ludwig, which I mentioned last week, which was a lot of fun because I liked the build the crazy castle mechanic. It was
really
cool.
Yeah.
But my favorite game... Forever, is Legendary. I'm just saying.
Oh, we want to play again later.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Talk to Chris later.
We got time for one more game before we go. All right.
Excellent.
Legendary.
All right. Question number 5. So we are not talking about what happened last Tuesday.
Right.
But we are going to find ourselves in an environment where we may need to step up and support our brothers and sisters and neighbors in the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So. In 2017, what charities or causes do you want to recommend to support?
Just for the sake of time, we should probably only pick one, because there are probably about 20 that I
can. Yeah, I will say, I would go with Planned Parenthood. And you can donate to your local Planned Parenthood is the thing. They are regional. So if you're in Minnesota, you are Planned Parenthood of it's like Minnesota and I think North Dakota. And so, but that is more important than just donating to PPFA. Like I love PPFA. That's great. But that's going to be a lot of administrative overhead money and money that goes to lobbyists to try to fight bills. If that's where you want your money, that's great. But you can do better work locally and regionally, and giving your money to your local clinics so that they can actually afford to pay For a lot of the stuff they don't just get federal funding for. And it also helps with sliding scale for both women's health care services and abortion services, because a lot of women can't pay what the full cost is, and every Planned Parenthood does have a sliding scale if you meet their low income requirements. Yeah. So very important. And Brianna is actually a volunteer for escort. Planned Parenthood as an escort.
Not Planned Parenthood. So in that vein,
yeah.
Actually, you can also check locally to see if you have independent
yes.
providers.
Yes.
Yeah. I volunteer for Whole Women's Health of the Twin
right.
Cities. But
yep.
also abortion funds are another place.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the money, but you do have time, they always
for
need people.
Yeah.
They need bodies, and that is a way
usually
to be on the front
you have to
lines.
Do like a
yeah.
training.
Yep. You wear a vest, you do a training, and then it's your job just to help get women from their cars to the doors safely.
Yeah.
And it's, I will say, I've done it. It's fun because fuck those protesters.
That's
and
right.
And if you have a tough skin, and you're able to just let that shit bounce off you.
Yes, right,
it
yeah.
can be pretty fun to hear the shit they'll say.
Yeah, it's always fun to tweet on Saturdays.
Yeah, because they don't come during the week. They all have jobs.
But for people who don't want to do that kind of work, local Planned Parenthoods and other
mm-hmm.
organizations will often have like just clerical work that needs
yep.
to be done or
yep.
other things like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nick?
I feel pretty strongly either... Freedom From Religion Foundation, I think, is a good choice. Donald Trump was very, very popular with evangelicals for some reason.
He's such
a narcissist that he's probably an atheist. But I feel like if Trump gets impeached or something, we'll end up with Pence. And it's going to be more important than ever to keep religion out of our government and fight that fight, because when religion shows up in the government, it affects women's health issues, it affects minorities, it affects everyone that's vulnerable gets affected for the worse when religion gets involved in the government.
Even if you're a cis straight white man, that can affect you because things
absolutely.
Like paternity leave and things like that get
absolutely.
Slashed. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's quality of life up and down the line because of hang-ups about sex, basically.
Yep.
And so I think that, when the person who's appointed to be in charge of our schools is a young earth creationist,
mm-hmm.
we need to keep religion out of our schools more than ever.
Yep.
When people are saying no abortions because, my God, whatever, we need to keep religion out of our government more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think ACLU would be my standard
family
for
sure. ACLU is good too. So, I mean, it's very difficult. There are a lot of really important causes. I don't know any good causes as far as supporting people who are transgender or gay or bisexual.
ACLU.
The ACLU is a good one. But
do you guys want your listeners to write in with their suggestions?
Please
yeah,
do.
Absolutely.
Please
yeah.
do.
I, however, I'm going to go with one of my pet projects, one of those things that I'm actually, I mean, I'm worried about these other things more. Obviously, I think the access to safe and legal abortions is way more important.
Right.
But
we covered that.
One
so.
Of my pet things is national parks, and I guarantee you,
oh, yeah.
I guarantee you,
yes.
especially with some of the people that they're talking about to run the Department of the Interior, that's going to be an area where we're going to see a lot of budget cuts. There's a group called the National Parks Conservation Association, and they get money to help support all national parks, or if you have one that you really like, every single national park
yeah.
has its own foundation that does fundraising for that park.
Yeah.
Because none of these parks get enough money to function. None of them
yeah.
get enough money to function. And they are going to see their budgets slashed
yeah.
Yeah.
In this new administration.
Or their
lands likely.
Sold.
Or they'll, some of them might be sold off. It's like, if you think preservation of land for future generations is important, it is something that's going to be under attack in this yeah. administration, and something you should support.
I want to point out that we don't all have extra money to just hand out, and that's fair. But if you have an Amazon account, which I feel like almost every human being does, you can sign up. If you go to smile.amazon.com, you can set a charity. Yep. And then anytime you buy something on Amazon, a little bit of money goes to that charity. So you don't even have to have extra money. It can just be the money that you're already spending on goods on Amazon to go to that charity. So if you go pick one of these charities, pick a charity you love. But please, God, just set a charity for your smile.amazon.com right now, because even if you only spend $100 at Amazon a year, that's probably like a dollar or two that's going to this place, and it's better than zero.
Yeah.
So if every one of our listeners, we usually get about 1,000 listeners, you know, on a given podcast, if even more, if you guys each set your Amazon account, your smile.amazon account, to a charity of your choosing, that's going to help. And that's a tangible difference you can make.
And if I know money's tight for a lot of people, but seriously, if you can afford a dollar a month, and most of us can, many of these charities, you can set up like a monthly donation of a buck. Most of us won't miss a dollar coming out.
Your company might have matching funds.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk to your employer. Go to your HR department, because they might do matching funds for donations, and that can be huge. Like, there's a lot we can do, and it's really rough, but we're on the ground.
My old employer's charitable part of the corporation.
Yeah.
Not only do they do matching funds stuff, but they give you additional time off pay for volunteer work, which I use to volunteer for Convergence.
Yep.
And I would say national parks, like, that is not something that I would just push aside.
No.
You know, because we have two climate change denying pro-business people leading the White House.
Yep.
And we've got two Republicans in... Or two Republican
it's all Republicans. It's turtles the whole way down right now.
Yes,
it's really bad. So, if you want,
environmental issues are going to be huge.
Let's stop the racist turtles and let's try to protect our like the little bit we have going. Thank you very much, Brianne. Really appreciate it. And Timmy's here too. We're going to record with Timmy. You'll get to hear him soon. If you have your answers to our five questions or to Brianne's five questions, we would love to hear it. Please send them in. You can post them on our website. You can send them to us on Facebook, or you can just email them to us at fivequestions@geeksaboutgod.com. Again, you can support us on Patreon. We just got a button maker. We're going to be making buttons. We mentioned that in the last episode. If you have an idea for a button, send it to us. If you don't have an idea for a button, but you just think it's cool we have them and you're willing to maybe buy or get one, let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
As always, answer our original or current five questions at fivequestions@geeksaboutgod.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And, you know, stay strong. It's going to be all right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the feather or the shell? Which came first, me or you? Well, it's usually
you. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Goddamn stupid politics. God, politics anyway. Fuck!